We are in the 8th chapter of the Revelation. And when he had opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. What happens in this silence depends on the level of your consciousness. The Father is saying, rest a while. Let the truth that you have learned become your flesh. Let my word in you come to the fore. Let my will in you, my power in you, my substance in you be all that you are. And those then who have been sealed in their foreheads, who have received the inner vision, rest now and let the power of the Spirit determine their actions, their will, their thoughts, their deeds. And there will be some too who will say, I have it. I understand everything. And they will discover that their silence is very short, just a half hour, because their mental acceptance did not go deep enough. They are those who have not yet been sealed in the forehead, who have not been opened to the capacity to receive the living Spirit. Now in this silence, we have a good time to review, to make adjustments, to let the old man die, to let the new be born. And so let's see what we have learned thus far. In the 7 letters to the churches, we learn that there is only a spiritual universe in spite of what the eyes tell us. We learn that beyond our 5-sense perception is reality. And it is perfect. And it is all. And it individualizes as the spiritual individuality of each who walks the earth. And they are perfect. And they function under perfect spiritual law, which contains within its perfection the capacity to ever maintain that perfection, so that the spiritual universe and those who inhabit it are ever immaculate, always functioning in perfect harmony according to the infallible principle of the Spirit. We learn further that that is all there is, that this is an all-powerful Spirit with no opposition, there being no other self. We learn it is an all-knowing spirit. We learn it is an ever-present spirit, indivisible from itself. We learn it is infinite. We learn there is nothing in this infinite spirit that is less than infinite. Nothing divided from itself. We learn that perfection is omnipresent and forever lasting. And so the principle is revealed that all is God, all is Spirit, ever maintaining itself, ever feeding itself, ever expressing itself, ever self-fulfilling, and that we inhabit that universe and no other. And so for us, the 7 seals now represent those barriers in our humanhood which have prevented us from living in and enjoying the perfect universe of God. And as these seals are broken, we find that we started out fairly confident that we had discovered a great truth, but in spite of all our dedication a force unseen, unknown, unrecognized moved through us. And it lifted us off the white horse of victory onto another horse. And then still another, and then still another. We found ourselves riding many horses. We found that in spite of walking in a perfect spiritual universe, we were riding a horse of emotions. We were riding a horse of intellect. We were riding a horse of matter. And all the while, we were declaring our fidelity to God. And then came a blessed moment when, through some activity in our consciousness, there was established a communion between the world in which we walked visibly and the invisible universe of God. We discovered that the invisible universe was right here, right where we walked, hidden to our false sense of self. And ultimately, we were sealed in the forehead. We were open to recognize all that we had learned existed through the Christ teaching. And then we stood in the kingdom revealed. For some it was a glimpse. For some it never happened. For others it was finally the revelation that where I stand is holy ground. And now in this half hour, there is silence in heaven. There is an adjustment period for you and me and everyone who has traveled the path to take stock, to let the spiritual awareness deepen so that it may be followed now by acts of the Spirit. We who have then received the inner impulse, the capacity to commune directly with the Father, we who have been turned to Christ within, who is the way, we walk in a sense of the knowledge that here where I stand is the law of God functioning. Here where I stand is the law of the Father operating to express its own perfection. I fear not what mortal man may do to me. I fear no power other than the perfect power of the Father. And of course, we should have reached that state of consciousness which knows, if I be spirit, I am not something else. We may balk at this, and because we do, because we're going to say, Father, I'll accept everything you teach me, but let me have one or two of my illusions, please. There must now sound the trumpets. Those who, through some innate incapacity to open themselves to the Absolute, find that they are now besieged. Their unwillingness to surrender, personal sense, personal individuality, personal will, personal desire, their own false sense of physicality, all this mitigates against that power of spirit within which is saying, my will be done. And so the friction begins. Matter of fact, it is now intensified. And so there are going to be seven trumpets. And each trumpet is going to be interpreted by the one who shows forth the problem, the pain, the suffering as an act of punishment by the Father. He's going to walk the earth saying, why am I being punished? What have I done to deserve this? I've been good. I've even been holy. I've tried to live a sacred life. What have I done? He will not recognize the love of the Father, which is saying, in spite of your unwillingness and momentary incapacity to relinquish your sense of righteousness, your sense of the way the world should be, it is the Spirit's will that you be perfect. And you must be lifted away from your toys. Those cherished toys of adolescence must go. For in spiritual maturity, each of us must walk in the Father's perfect will. Not in the sense that now I know what I am to do, but rather in the sense that now I know that I do not know. Rather do I know that it is the Father's will alone in me, activated through the Christ of being that knows the way. I out here do not know, and I rejoice in not knowing, that it may be revealed through Christ in me what I am to do, where I am to go, and how it shall be done. There is finally this surrender, this relinquishing of the last remnant of self. And until this is accomplished, another trumpet must sound. Each trumpet representing another level of love, liberating us from self-will, interpreted by the individual as evil on the earth. So we will see now how the trumpets are not so much the active punishment of God as has been told to us, but rather a law of karma, a law such as, well, let's say you take a recipe book and it says, bake the cake for 20 minutes. And you put it in the oven and you take it out in 30 minutes. You won't say that the author of the book who gave you that recipe is punishing you. You'll simply say you didn't obey the simple instruction of the recipe. And so it is when you violate a divine law. It being perfect, all that is imperfect must now occur. And the imperfections that occur are really the violation of divine law being signaled to you so that you can go back and cease being a prodigal who is violating divine law. And so the cake will burn. And you'll know next time not to put it in for 30 minutes. You'll keep your eyes open. Similarly, when you step off the path of truth, for a while you may seem to prosper, but ultimately the cake will burn. And when it does, it is not a punishment of the Father. There is no such thing. It is simply your violation which brings into play the automatic law of karma, of reaping that which you have sown, preventing you from walking out further into additional errors, into blunders that develop into crises. Always our path is held intact by the rod of spirit if we but have ears to hear and eyes to see. And these so-called evils that appear then are evil to some, but when you are seeing them in their true light, they are the law of karma preventing you from straying further. And so now the trumpets. I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now even though evil will seem to appear, these seven trumpets are held by seven angels. We are going to see the law of karma at work. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. We have learned in the breaking of the seven seals how to enter into the kingdom of heaven. This was for John an actual experience. It was a description of the experience that we are going through. And now those truths we learned are doing something. They are enforcing themselves. It was wonderful to learn the truth. Now we see that truth in spirit is ever active. It blows a trumpet. And every time it blows another trumpet, the truth in you removes, destroys, unearths another remnant of humanhood. And you say, oh, it hurts. It hurts. Yes, it does, but we went in for truth. And truth says, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to cut away the conditionings of the human mind. And as truth bites in, we feel that incisive bite. We feel the pain of it because we are being released from untruth. Soon we get used to it. We learn that the action of truth is only painful for one reason. We are resisting that truth. When we are moving in a rhythm of our own, unlike the rhythm of the Father, the truth is very unsettling. When we are willing to abide in the truth, to realize that the truth knows better than my human selfhood knows, then we will ride in the rhythm of the truth without friction, without opposing it. And we will find that the absence of the desire to cling removes the pain. You may not even be conscious of the fact that you're clinging to yesterday when the truth cuts away the false concepts. But every time there's pain, every time there's an inner turmoil, it is because the old is giving way to the new. And we're still trying to cling to the old. To some, this giving way causes a state of terror or panic. To others, it brings a sense of fascination. The adventure of spirit is lifting them beyond the levels of the finite mind. They relax. They know you can't fight the horse in the saddle. They learn to go with the jumps. And it isn't long before you develop the technique of knowing that spirit has a law of progression, a law of many mansions, a law that says today is a new day. Today is a new experience. Today is not like yesterday. Do not store yesterday in the barn. Today is completely fresh, newly minted. Today is fresh manna. Yesterday's concepts must be dropped. You know, if the trees around us were not ever being regenerated, it wouldn't be long before they'd die. And in our finite human concepts, we think we must ever remain as we are, simply dropping the bad things and accumulating the good things. And Spirit says, no, no, if you feel that way, there'll be another trumpet for you. You must learn to let me show you what you cannot know in a finite mind. You too will change just like the tree. Your limbs will give birth to new ideas, and they will give birth to new ideas. You will be my divine image and likeness revealed. You cannot do it in the flesh. It profiteth nothing to remain in the flesh. And Spirit now is saying, as my truth becomes active in your being, a new body is being formed in you, a new way, a new mind, a new life, a complete new you that can continue to live in my kingdom. And this is where we find that we have either been protected by the seal of truth, or we are still in that Achilles heel which is vulnerable. You must remember now that we are always given our chance to be sealed against the pains, the sorrows, the false concepts. And if we have been stubborn along the way, Spirit now is going to unseat that stubbornness. The only thing in us that is ever going to be destroyed is unreality. Reality of us is omnipotent. Only that which has no truth, no substance, that which is not of the Father can be destroyed. The you that is, the spiritual self, the perfect being, is completely immaculate and beyond destruction forever. Only the weeds now are being torn away. We can relinquish them willingly, or they are torn away. The first trumpet will soon sound. The angel now that stands at the altar with a golden censer is seen to John in this manner, signifying that the law of truth in you is being enforced. And he sees Spirit entering your being as a golden censer. And in this golden censer, this truth is the incense, the truth that will be poured into your being. To John, this is how it comes. And as this incense is poured from the golden censer, a new age, a new level of consciousness is beginning in you. And as truth enters you, there will be a reaction in you. If you are not sealed, for this truth will be a sword to cut away its opposite. This is an act of love. And this incense is offered with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar before the throne. The smoke now of the incense, as Spirit, pulsating through your being, new impulses coming to you, you see. You are being open to the impartations of the angels. And as this happens, the smoke of the incense, meaning your deeds, your works, your actions, because of the spiritual impetus now given to you, this smoke, these deeds, rise before the Father. They ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Your deeds begin to be of a divine nature. You are released from a degree of self-will. You find a measure of His will taking effect in your consciousness. You are entering the new age of Spirit. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar, divine truth. Cast it unto the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. When this happens in the individual, then, the communication of Spirit, there is an earthquake within that individual. There is an overturning. Now you begin to feel then that when the earthquake in you begins its overturning, when you feel the change of consciousness taking place, the strangeness, it isn't something that is unique in you. It is something that everyone goes through when there is a beginning of a change in the life stream from the tree of good and evil to the tree of life. As we become open to the power of spirit within, those cherished beliefs of yesterday now are being dropped away, even against our will. The earlier beliefs in sickness, in death, in the power of the evils of the world, these begin to fall away. That's all part of our earthquake. The power of self-will is lessened. We're beginning to see the light of how self-will leads to self-destruction. And it's described as an earthquake, but what is it? It's an awakening from a sleep. Just the first drowsy rumblings of awakening from the dream that evil is possible in the perfect creation of God. When known for what it is, it's a very welcome earthquake, because it is going to be the release, the change from earth to heaven. Now this is an assault upon the false material consciousness of the individual. And everything that happens which seems to be a great evil is nothing but the breaking up of that consciousness which does not recognize the allness of God. For ultimately, through these thunderings, these lightnings, this earthquake, there will be the birth of the Christ mind, the pure consciousness, the awareness of the kingdom at hand in all its perfection. And now only the mist is being destroyed. The glass darkly is being shattered by the invisible action of spirit with its golden censer emptying down to us its incense from the altar of truth. The light is coming through, and it is a sword to the material consciousness. In this you can recognize many of the things that have begun to disturb you, which now can be seen from a different attitude. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound, now remember, four angels standing at the four corners of the earth have been told to hold back the winds until we have sealed them in their foreheads. And now each of the trumpets that sound are being sounded, but there's no suffering to those who have been sealed with truth. And in this silence in heaven, there was an opportunity for us all to return to the Father's house, to accept the truth, to abide in the allness of God. And now when the thunderings begin, when the earthquake begins, what is your reaction? Why is there a feeling of torment? Only because we believe that God is not all. That belief must be shaken out of us. What is the torment when you stand in Christ? It is a nothingness. And therefore, in your disbelief in the allness of God, you bake the cake too long or too short. You merely misread the instructions or disobeyed them. We have been learning that God is all. In your acceptance that God is all, you will discover you have already passed the sounding of the trumpets. There are no more trumpets for you. These trumpets are only for those who have not accepted that God is all. Those who have come out of Egypt, those who live in Israel, those who are no longer sense-bound are not hearing these trumpets. They are only the sound of Satan in the midst of us being dislodged from his perch. Satan in the midst being destroyed by the word. God is all. And so the misperceiving individual continues to suffer. Only because he will not obey the divine law that there is none but I, the Spirit of God. My universe is perfect. My law is perfect. My child is perfect. Be ye perfect. Be ye my child. And the mere acceptance that you are is the rejection of every belief that comes to you that you are not. So we learn to stand there, and lo and behold, we do not even hear the sound of those trumpets. God is all. That is the song you sing. God is all. In that allness am I. That spirit which is the Father am I. That spiritual law which is perfect, which governs all spirit, is the law that governs my being. And in me, that which would deny this, that which would acknowledge the power of another law, the power of mortality, the power of disease, the power of pain, that in me which acknowledges these, that is the false consciousness for which these trumpets continue to sound. When that false consciousness dies, I am born to the Spirit. That is the purpose of this inner warfare, to destroy the false consciousness in man, which is called the seat of Satan. We know what it is, of course. It is the world consciousness, the mortal mind, in us, wearing its many disguises, looking out and identifying pain and evil and terror and bad health and lack and limitation and old age, where they do not exist. It is mortal mind painting its own pictures and then confirming itself by wearing a disguise, calling itself our mind. Through our eyes, it looks at its own false creation, confirming it, binding us to the untruth. And so, the angels drop their fire from the altar. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Hail and fire mingled with blood. Oh, but what kind of blood was that? Divine wisdom. What kind of fire? Divine truth. What kind of hail? Divine love. Love, truth, wisdom in the midst of you. That's all. And what was that third part destroyed? The third part of the human will. As this is released in you, that part of the will is destroyed. But you still have self-will. Your will is not taken from you, but now your self-will loses its self-will in the sense that you are willing to will yourself to do the will of God, to bring your will into conformity with the will of God. And so it is said that only a third part is destroyed. No, this isn't torture at all. This is being taught by God. This is surrendering to the divine impulse, learning that His voice shall not be mocked. His will in you is being done. And now the second trumpet. The second angel sounded. And as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. The third part of the sea became blood. You know what that sea is? It's man's material consciousness. The sea of world thought. And it becomes blood, a third part. Again, one third of the material consciousness in you becomes divine wisdom. Divine blood. And that great mountain burning with fire, which is cast into the sea, is the mountain of desire. The mountain of that desire of the false self, which says, I shall glorify me. We've been so used to glorifying the personal self that when it is destroyed in us to a degree, it's like a mountain falling into the sea. What? I cannot go out and do the things I want to do. I cannot build my empires. I cannot show the world how intelligent I am. To lose that seems to be the greatest tragedy in the world. But it's the greatest blessing. For only in the banishment of that great burning desire to be somebody, to glorify ourselves, do we discover the greater joy, the permanent joy of glorifying the Father. And so the higher intelligence is seeping through the lower. And to the lower, it's the greatest tragedy in the world. Everything you have worked for all these years being taken away. And yet, it's like the child who yells, please, mother, don't take that toy away. It's my dear little baby, that doll. The child doesn't know it must grow up. And the human doesn't know it must grow up. Its self-desires, its status-seeking, its great desire to show forth its own intelligence and capacities are its little dolls. It doesn't know that in the wings is waiting a paradise, where there are no little dolls to ever take away, where there is no human life to ever be removed, where there is no human form ever to go through a disease or a torture. when it gives up its so-called good toys, it also loses all of its bad toys, but it doesn't at that stage know this. It doesn't know it is being redeemed out of the era of centuries, out of false concepts, out of images in time and space. It doesn't know it is being lifted into life eternal, on the earth as it is in heaven. And so its loss of the personal sense of self at this particular moment seems like a burning mountain falling into the sea. And now a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. The creatures in the sea being material consciousness, the creatures are the concepts of that material consciousness. And so a third part of our material concepts in the sea of human consciousness are destroyed. We learn that God has never sent an earthquake to destroy. God has never sent a hurricane. God is not in the whirlwind. God is not rising up in the sea to swallow ships. God is not causing pestilence upon the earth. We learn our false concepts of matter, which have made us prisoners of the mind, no longer have power to deceive us. The great deception of mortal mind is slowly taking a new turn in our entire existence. We are beginning to perceive that these things we have attributed to the punishment of God are nothing like that at all. We are learning that there is a force at work, a shadow that falls upon the earth from another shadow. And that mortal mind passing before the soul casts its shadow into the valley of the shadow of death. You see, the death of our soul is only an imitation death. As soul passes through mortal mind, through the world mind, we are dead to the soul. And that soul passing through world mind casts its shadow upon the earth. It's too bad we have identified that shadow as me, him, and her. But we learn now that we are not that shadow. We are not that image seen through the glass darkly of the world mind. We have only appeared to be. And here we are beginning to see that the evils of the earth and the good of the earth are not divine creation. We are beginning to see that the good which decays and becomes the bad is not divine creation. That the apparent life which is snuffed away was never a divine life. We are beginning to see that the human image is not the divine image and likeness at all. We are coming out of a deep sleep, and it is taking the sound of the trumpets in us to awaken us to reality in all its perfection, ever radiant, ever alive, ever functioning in all its perfection. We are beginning to see that the great deceiver is the world mind. The mist, the glass darkly, which has made us walk through a dream. The word dream becomes a very strange word to us. We learn there is no symbolism in the words, "Awake, thou that sleepest." It is a flat statement of fact. Awake, thou that sleepest in unreality, in a dream of mortality, in a dream of matter, in a dream of good and evil, in a universe that is not perfect, in a universe of mountains and valleys, of hate and violence. This is the dream. And who is the dreamer? We find the dreamer is the world mind. That world mind which has strayed, never really strayed. Can a shadow stray? We find that our soul has been going through its own reflection. Our soul moves through its own reflection, and the shadow of that journey is the false sense of self. Divine mind casts its own shadow. The world mind is the shadow. The soul moves through the world mind and then through its own shadow. But when it learns the truth, when we awaken from the sleep, we discover that our soul has never changed. Our soul body has never changed. Our soul life is ever here. And we discover there's a very good use for this human body. It's like when we look in the mirror. We see a reflection of ourselves. We never say, "I am that reflection." It's a reflection of me. It tells me what I look like. I would not know any other way. So too with our soul. It looks into its own reflection. But if we believe the reflection to be us, we walk in this false marriage between the soul and the world mind. We become the child born not of the Father, but of the world mind. And we are that mortal mind individualized into form. And all of the sound of the trumpets is occurring in that mortal mind individualized into form, which is the human image. Unaware that itself, its reality, is the divine image, the perfect child of the Father. The third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And these ships are the ideas on which we sail. As we lose some of these ideas, these concepts, we're more willing to release ourselves from the hard and fast beliefs that there's something I have to defend myself against. Through the mist comes the idea that I, the child of God, am ever perfect, needing no defense. We release ourselves from the conflict and discover there never was a conflict except in our sense of self which we were striving to glorify. The conflict of wills is slowly removed. If not, the trumpets are now intensified. Now the third angel will sound. Those of us who still believe that God is not all that we are not spirit, that we are not the permanent spiritual image of the Father, that we are not self-sufficient in Christ, we hear the third trumpet. There fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. Now the star that falls from heaven is heaven, the Spirit, removing its protection from the false self-will of man. So the self-will falls to earth. It has lost the protection of heaven. We were permitted to make our errors up to a point, but now even that protection behind us when we made our errors is removed. And we begin to see that the errors are not punishment whatsoever. They are simply ignorance of the truth about God. We are face to face with the fact that we, in our ignorance, in our violation, are merely charged for that violation. The sea receives the self-will of man. And it is called wormwood because the waters will turn bitter. The bitterness is our own bitterness with our own actions. We see that everything we do does not prosper. And whereas we were so anxious to do this and that as we saw it, hardly waiting for the Father's confirmation, we now see that our own actions turn to bitterness within us. We lived our lives as if we had been shot out of a cannon. And all of a sudden we find that our forward action is impeded. The great things we thought we were going to do have turned sour. We are beginning to distrust ourselves, our own human will. The third part of the waters become wormwood, and many died of the waters because they were made bitter. Whenever you hear about dying, it's always about men's actions, men's deeds, men's concepts. All of this is a description of the warfare in one individual's being between mortal mind and soul. And all of the symbolism is the death of mortal mind as soul penetrates with truth. This is not about the outer world. This is our inner conflict between mind and spirit. There's hardly anyone who hasn't recognized that most of their lives have been spent in that conflict. Walking against the unknown will of the Father while we walk in our own particular desires. Now we have learned that our own desires lead to a bitterness as the star of self-will falls into the sea. The fourth angel sounded. Third part of the sun was smitten. Third part of the moon. Third part of the stars. So as a third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. All of the great cherished truths that we had believed in are smashed. Man of his own self can do nothing. Individually, we discover this, and collectively it outpictures. It outpictures as confusion. It outpictures as man becoming entangled. It outpictures as the world we live in today. The individual confusion through the inability to walk in the will of the Father becomes national confusion. Governments become confused. Heads of governments, people everywhere. And you find laws being passed which are makeshift, without depth, without real thought behind them, just to take care of changing emergencies. Laws that cannot fit the permanent sense of statesmanship or fill the divine will. And as man becomes more entangled and more confused, his efforts continue always in his own self-will, self-knowledge, until he discovers that his own knowledge is inadequate. He cannot extricate himself from the confusion which his own will has brought him to. And thus spirit, removing its protection from the self-will of man, permits man in his self-will to see the nature of his own inadequacy. All the difficulties that beset us in the world today are the result of man's unawareness of divine will, his walking in his own will, and his now discovery that the fruits of his own will are what he is suffering from. This is this fourth sounding of the trumpet. Perhaps the world hasn't reached that stage yet, but it may be very close when man discovers that his polluted oceans, his polluted lakes, his polluted air is nothing but his material consciousness made visible. As spirit infiltrates the consciousness of man, it then becomes known to man that there is only one way out of his confusion, and that is to find the will of the Father, to cease his unawareness of it, which constitutes disobedience to that will, to yield. But there is more to it, more than just yielding. There is another trumpet. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." And so at this stage in our journey, man is still to receive a new impulse from within. You might say that the fourth trumpet and the confusions that resulted from that spiritual impulse has opened man to the beginning of an understanding of the hypnosis which envelops the earth. That all of the evils and problems that beset the human race constitute not God's will upon the earth, but man's disobedience to God's will. Man's baking the cake for 30 minutes when he was told to bake it for 20. But now is revealed why man is disobedient to God's will even when man wishes to be obedient. There is a growing awareness of the nature of that disobedience, that there is a force at work compelling man to be disobedient. And in these four trumpets, the Spirit is awakening man to the cause of his unrest. He is learning that even though he reads the Bible, even though he goes to church, even though he prays, even though he says, I believe in God, his disobedience to God continues because there is in him a force at work which he has not recognized. A force which is a liar from the start, a murderer from the beginning. There is in him something that kills, that hates, that is violent, that is untrue, that disobeys reality. And his unawareness of that force has been the cause of his problems. Now that force is being revealed. Suddenly the protection of spirit is removed completely, and the force which causes mortality, which causes death, which causes the evils of the world, the tortures of the mind and the body, that force is revealed as the world mind, the false world mind, the counterfeit mind. And we see that Satan, the counterfeit mind, is the human mind. Man wouldn't believe that without the trumpet sounding within him, until one day he opens his eyes and says, my God, Satan is my mind. The serpent in my midst, which causes all of my problems, is the mortal mind in me, which looks out and says, God isn't there. Look at all that evil. Look at all those terrible things.